Hear our prayer of illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Ezekiel. It is chapter 37, 1 to 14. The Valley of the Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley that was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They said, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off.' So therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
This morning I had to do something that most ministers shy away from, and that is I had to preach a scripture I did not select and write a sermon against a title I did not choose. But nonetheless, the title of our message today is Revival in the Graveyard. Pray with me, church. Loving God, we thank you once again for giving us this opportunity to come. And we pray, Lord, that you open our hearts and our minds and our understanding that we will receive the message you have this day for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revival in the graveyard. The first question that came to my mind as I looked at this title is the question, what is a revival? And in answer to that question, I did what everybody else does. I took out my phone and I went to the internet. And I found two very interesting definitions. It says that a revival is an improvement in the condition or the strength of something. And it also said a revival is an instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again. As I read these definitions, I began to reflect upon how this might be relevant for the passage of Scripture that we heard just a few moments ago. And in this passage, we have the prophet by the name of Ezekiel, who was led by the Lord into a valley which was littered with human bones, stacked up and piled up all over the place. Knowing nothing more than what he saw with his very own eyes, the Lord asked him this question: can these bones ever come back to life? Being caught up in a moment and quite possibly being overwhelmed by what he saw ahead of him, Ezekiel came up with the only answer that most of us would be able to find, and that was just simply, "O Lord God, you alone know." To which the Lord told him, "Prophesy. Prophesy to the bones." And after doing this, the scripture tells us that there was a noise in the valley. The bones began to rattle. The bones began to move and shake. And then one by one, the bones began to come together and to form a skeleton. And then the skeletons somehow began to grow tendons and ligaments and muscles came upon them. And then eventually skin covered them all. And as Ezekiel looked in amazement at all that the Lord had done, he realized something very important. He realized that the original question had still not yet been answered. The question that was asked of him was, can these bones come back to life? As he looked down in this valley, what Ezekiel saw in that moment were rows and rows of lifeless bodies just lying there on the floor of that valley. As we pause here for just a moment, pausing the scripture, the question that comes to mind is, if we were to take a step back and look at this scene through the eyes of Ezekiel, the question that comes to mind is, what would a revival look like if it took place in that valley at that time? When we look at what's been done so far, what we have are bodies of people who have been laying in the valley lifeless for only God knows how long. Cosmetically, they are now intact. They have all this stuff that it takes to make a body work. But there's still no life in them. And so what would a revival look like in that instance? Taking a step back from this biblical account, I wonder how many times we find ourselves in a situation where when we look out into our own reality this day, that we find ourselves in a situation saying that we need a revival to take place, a revival in our own lives, or maybe a revival in our church, or beyond our doors, a revival in the world around us. Answer me this: how many times have we in our own individual lives desired a revival in our lives? And we responded by doing things like this: changing our appearance. How many times did we go shopping for new outfits just to make ourselves feel good? Anybody ever do that? Let me see some hands. Or how about this one? reach a point in your life where you decide, I need a revival. I need to feel alive again. I need a change. So you go and find a better job. So we think. Or this one, where we make changes in our lives, maybe where we live, or maybe where we date, or maybe where we hang out, with the hopes that these things will bring about a revival, a renewed sense of feeling alive again. Or how about this one? When we look at the context of the church, how many times have we desired a revival in our church because we feel like things have gotten a little slow, a little stagnant, a little boring, if you will. And so what do? We put a nice fresh coat of paint on all the walls. Or we go out and change the color of the carpet. Or buy new hymn books so that we can sing new songs to the Lord with the hopes that this will bring a renewed sense of life, a revival into our own church. And the end result is the hope that it'll draw more people in because they'll see new life happening all around. Or how about this one? When I look out into the world and all the things that are going on, how many times have we turned on the news and heard reports like the ones that have been just flooding the airwaves these last couple of weeks? Just yesterday, we heard about a horrific situation where a man who decided that walking into a synagogue to kill people while they were praising and praying and worshiping God was the right thing to do. Or a little bit earlier in the week, where we had a situation where a man who unsuccessfully gained entry into a predominantly black church decided that his work wasn't done, so he went to a supermarket in Jefferson, Kentucky, and killed two innocent senior citizens in cold blood. Or a week before that, there was a situation where a man who was holding several children hostage in a house in Florence, South Carolina, felt that it was the right thing to do when the police came to free the children to shoot seven of them, two of which unfortunately were fatal. When we hear stories like this over and over again, many of us will turn to God and say, we need a revival in our society, don't we? We need a revival. We need something to change the hearts and the minds of people with the hopes that somewhere, somehow, mental health issues will be addressed, or maybe gun laws will be changed, or whatever it is that allows people to think that these are okay needs to change, so that that revival can take place, so that we can all go and live in peace and in harmony and in joy without fear. This is what a revival would look like. And though all of these things that we talk about, the changing the outside appearance, the changing of our cosmetic, all of the outside stuff that we do with the hopes that it would revive our lives, our church, and our society, all of these are still cosmetic. All of these are still superficial. But when we look back to our scripture, in that conversation that was taking place between the Lord and Ezekiel, Ezekiel realized that there was one more very important element that was still missing. What he realized came through the second command that the Lord gave him when he said, and I quote, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. And as Ezekiel did as the Lord commanded him, breath entered into those bodies that were lying on the floor of that valley. And life returned to them. They began to live once again. Beloved people of God, that is the next step for us as well. We may go through all of the motions to take care of the superficial, external, outside things, but if we want a true revival to take place in our lives, in our church, and in this world, we too have to do what God instructed Ezekiel to do. We have to invite God into that picture. We have to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and to breathe a new life into the hearts and the minds of those who make these things happen. And here's the best part about it. It's all not doom and gloom. Because if we invite the Holy Spirit to invite and to breathe new life into what we do, if the Holy Spirit can take bones that have been dead for who knows how long and bring life back into them, could you imagine what God can do here at the Second Reformed Church? In a church that is far from being dead, in a church who has already begun to experience renewal and revived energy, could you imagine what God can do through the Holy Spirit in a church with people who truly love the Lord? And the most exciting part about it is that it's not just one of us doing it. Imagine what would happen when we all come together as one faithful community, praying together, loving together, learning together. Could you imagine what type of revival, renewal, and regenerated energy would happen if we invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives, our church, and our world beyond? So where do we begin? Well, we begin with this challenge. I invite everybody to pick one thing, just one thing this week, whether it's something in your life that you want to change, that you want to revive, that you want to renew, or something in our church, or maybe something in this world that you want to see change. Pick that item and set aside a little bit of time each day and pray for just that one thing. And do it for as often as you feel good doing it, whether that be for a few days, a few weeks, a month or two, whatever it is, just pray for that one thing. Invite God into that item. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and be a part of that. And what my hope and my prayer will be is that we will all experience that definition of a revival that we began with at the beginning of our sermon. An improvement in the condition or a strengthening of that thing that we pray for. And or a revival that brings about an instance of that thing that we want to become more meaningful, to become popular, to become active, to become alive again. Beloved people of God, things may not always feel like they're going the way we want them to, but if you invite God into it, you'll actually see that there is still a lot of life and a lot of joy that we can experience. And it gets even better when we do it together. And so, beloved people of God, I leave you with that challenge to go to God in prayer and invite Him into those tough places in your lives and see how much better it can be. Amen? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank You so much for once again being there when we need You most. We pray, Lord, that You will just simply give us that guidance, hope, and direction that we desire. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.